back in the 50s and 60s, there was a common expression, you can't win for losing. You remember that? The expression meant that no matter what you did, how well you did it, or how good a deed it was, you ended up losing. It was almost the fulfillment of another expression. No good deed goes unpunished. Now, you may have heard the following story before, but I think it best illustrates this point. There was a guy who died and was at the pearly gates waiting to be admitted. St. Peter was there going through his great book to see if he was worthy of entrance. After several reviews, Peter looked puzzled. You know, I can't see that you ever did anything really bad in your life. But on the other hand, you never did anything really good either. If you can point to even one really good deed, you're in. Well, after a moment of pause, suddenly the guy responds, yeah, there was one time when I was driving down the road and saw a large gang of bikers assaulting this poor girl. Infuriated, I stopped, got out of the car, grabbed the tire iron out of my trunk, and walked up to the leader of the gang. I'm afraid he was a huge guy with a studded leather jacket and a chain running from nose to ear. As I walked up to the leader, the gang formed a circle around me. In anger, I ripped the leader's chain off his face and smashed him over the head with the tire iron. He fell to the ground. I turned and yelled at the rest of them, leave this innocent girl alone. You're a bunch of sick, deranged animals. Go home before I teach you all a lesson in pain. Well, being impressed, St. Peter replied, you know, that's not in my records. When did this happen? And the guy replied, oh, about 2 minutes ago. Yes, there are those times in life when you just can't win for losing. And even better, no good deed goes unpunished. All kidding aside, in reality, this often seems to be the case. We can do what we think is the right thing to do or say, and in truth, it may be. But how others take it or the results may turn out to be just the opposite. In such instances, we then may face the consequences, even though the deed or what we said was in and of itself good and compassionate. One only has to look at martyrs throughout history to see this reality. Most of these martyrs lived lives which contributed positively to life, but in doing so alienated those who had negative and even evil agendas. Evil cannot tolerate good and must eliminate it in order to survive. As Christianity began to spread throughout the Mediterranean world, that's 2,000 years ago, it became a threat not only to the Jewish establishment, but even to a greater extent to the culture, traditions, religions, and establishments of the great Roman Empire. The book of Acts relates this story. When the good news of Christianity was proclaimed, the news was and is based upon God's love and forgiveness. And people began to flock to the message, which resulted in many conversions into the rapidly growing early church. As a result, these early converts began to reject the traditions of Roman society, which led the authorities to begin to see them as a threat to the social and political makeup of the empire. As this perceived threat grew, so did the desire to eliminate this movement, even though it stood for the ultimate good of the people. Now, one would think those early persecuted Christians would say, "You can't win for losing. No deed goes unpunished." But that would not be the case. For with the presence of God and His love, it was just the opposite. Although being persecuted, there was no losing, no matter how others treated them. The fact is, the message of Jesus' life is that through God's love, there are no losers. Now, a good example of this can be found in the story about Paul and Silas while they were still in Philippi. They must have begun to become known, for while they were walking along, a slave girl who was possessed by the spirit of the divination followed them. To be possessed with such a spirit brought with it wild talk, which was considered to be fortune telling. Her owners took advantage of this, making much money for her services of being a fortune teller. Even today, people pay good money to have their fortunes told. For one reason or another, it seems to be a human trait to want to know what is ahead so that we may prepare for it or try to escape it. Throughout history, there have been leaders of the world who employed the services of fortune tellers of one sort or another in order to make their decisions. Now, this particular slave girl would not leave them alone. She followed them, shouting, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." Now, she kept doing this for many days. Finally, she became such an annoyance to Paul that he directed the spirit to leave her. "I order you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And we are told that within the hour, the slave girl was healed of the spirit. Well, good deed. But this did not set well with her owners. For now, her fortune-telling abilities had left her. They were now left without their easy money-making through their slave and were extremely unhappy. So they sought revenge. Even though Paul performed the act of healing a human being of the anguish of being possessed, Paul and Silas were seized and taken to the authorities. Their accusation before the magistrates was, these men, Paul and Silas, are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe. Now, this played upon the prejudice against the Jews, which were then picked up by the crowd, for they began to attack Paul and Silas. Now, the magistrates, not knowing that Paul was a Roman citizen, had them stripped and flogged. Then they were thrown into a maximum security area of the prison, bound in chains. Now, this, of course, was a very good deed that had gone wrong. It was a time when Paul and Silas could have cried out, you can't win for losing. No good deed goes unpunished. But that was not to be the case. In the darkness of that night, Paul and Silas seemed to be undisturbed about the whole thing, for they prayed and sang hymns while the other prisoners listened to them. The night was interrupted by an earthquake, violent enough to shake the prison foundation, opening all the doors and unfastening everyone's chains. Now, when the prison guard woke up and saw the doors opened and the chains unfettered, he knew what his punishment would be for losing his prisoners. Therefore, he drew his sword to commit suicide. That was the honorable thing to do. But Paul interrupted him with the news that they hadn't made their escape, but they were still all there. Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. It was there and then that the prison guard was converted. Sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul responded, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And it was then that he and his family were thereafter baptized. It was revealed that Paul was a Roman citizen and should never have been treated like he was treated. Thus, they were released and ordered to leave town. You know, it's very interesting to note that the good deed of healing the slave girl, which seemed to turn into a losing situation for Paul and Silas, was not that at all. It became a winning situation since the prison guard and his family found a new life in God's love. Therefore, the saying now could be, you can't lose for winning. Or no good deed is without its ultimate reward. This is even the punishment in the death that's in the case of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. who was sent to prison in opposing the Nazi regime and sentenced to hang. Upon facing the gallows, Dietrich Bonhoeffer reaffirmed the glory of the resurrected Lord and the promise of eternal life as his ultimate win in life. It wasn't a losing situation for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He had won. Paul would later write to the Philippians of his ultimate victory when he stated, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The ultimate confession that we as Christians can make. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live a life in God's love will not always be understood by others, nor will others always look upon us with favor, because the good we may do may interfere with selfish agendas. We must recognize it. But we must also recognize the fact and end up saying, I can win. I can win. There is no excuse for not continuing to live life in Christ and to live the compassion, love, and forgiveness which God extends to us. There is no excuse. The good news is that we will not be losers, but we will be winners. For we have the joy of knowing the fulfillment of love through the resurrected Christ. What other reward do we need? Therefore, we can always say, you can't lose. You can't lose for winning. We always remember that. Amen.